بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the final episode of Finding the Balance, Rediscovering the Ideal Muslimah. So we have been exploring a set of questions together. What were those questions? Test time. Who is the Muslim woman? What are her abiding characteristics? And how can we live up to the standards that have been set for us by our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in today's day and age? Now, I've got a more interesting question for you in this, our final episode. What do we do when the characteristics that are deemed praiseworthy in our deen are shunned or looked down on by those around us or society? That question is particularly pertinent in this episode because one of the qualities we're going to be talking about is submission. Now, for many sisters today, the word and act of submission is a bitter pill to swallow. And you know what I'm talking about, it's almost become a taboo. But as Muslims, those who submit, we must reclaim this word and put it in its proper context, no matter what society thinks. And just a reminder, Aisha radiallahu anha reported that the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever seeks the pleasure of Allah by the displeasure of people, get this, Allah will suffice him against the people. But whoever seeks the pleasure of people by the displeasure of Allah, Allah will leave him to the patronage of the people. Subhanallah. Big words. So now, how are we going to be accepting and embodying the standard that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set us? And how can we strike the balance between characteristics that may seem to oppose each other? Today, we're going to be talking about whether it is possible to be submissive and retain your dignity. You don't want to miss it. Let's go. So what is being submissive? Well, according to the dictionary, it is the action of accepting or yielding to a superior force or to the will or authority of another person. In another definition, it is the action of being submissive, of being compliant. So, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no believing man nor any believing woman should exercise any choice in their affair once Allah and His Messenger have decided upon a matter. Anyone who disobeys Allah and His Messenger has wandered off into manifest error. This takes us back to the definition of submission. Again, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, our Lord, make us fully submit to you and from our descendants a nation that will submit to you. Show us our rituals and turn to us in grace. You are truly the acceptor of repentance, most merciful. Again, in the next ayah, but know, whoever submits themselves to Allah and does good will have their reward with their Lord, and there will be no fear for them, nor will they grieve. Whoever fully submits to Allah and is a good doer, they have certainly grasped the firmest handhold, and with Allah rests the outcome of all affairs. Why have I listed so many ayat in one go? Because I want you to hear how the word submit is used by our Creator. Submission for us is broken down. There is submission of the level of submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, submitting to the judgment of the Prophet ﷺ, submitting to the deen. Many of us are okay with that. We don't mind the idea of Islam being the deen of submission. And in fact, it's something that we talk about. But there are aspects of submission that in today's society have fallen out of favor. For example, submission to those who have responsibility for us or authority over us. Parents, husbands, an emir. Dare we talk about the submissive wife? Dare we talk about it? This has become a trigger word in our society and in our community. Why? Well, one could say that the modern understanding of submission is that it is not befitting, that women should not have to submit to their husbands, that women should be equal partners with their husbands. And again, we go back to what I mentioned at the very beginning of this episode, which is when you seek the pleasure of Allah with the displeasure of the people, Allah will suffice you. And so my call for us on this particular characteristic is to reclaim what submission means and how submission is seen by the one who created us. Because in actual fact, obedience and submission to those whom Allah has made responsible for us is praiseworthy. It is praised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is mandated. And the leadership of those who are in responsibility is impossible without it. So something for us to think about whenever we get triggered by the word submissive. What does it mean? Break it down. Now, of course, there will be those who say, hold on a minute. Can't you be too submissive? What about boundaries? What about when people take advantage? What if? Well, as we've seen throughout this series, our deen gives us the way to balance. So if we are going to balance the submission, it is with dignity and honor, izzah. Let's look at the way that the Muslim woman has been perceived over time. In our society, for the longest time, Muslim women have been looked down on, talked down on. We are seen as oppressed, depressed, repressed, and every aspect of our identity is held up for question, held up for debate. But in this space, I'd like us to take a moment to remember that as believing women, as Muslim women, we have been guaranteed our dignity and honor by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You, sis, yes, you, are a blessed creation of Allah, and He Himself has guaranteed your rights. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen to honor us with this deen and chosen to honor us with our roles in this earth and our responsibilities in this earth. So it is upon us to proudly say that we submit to the Creator, to submit to the Lord of all the worlds. Well, to proudly say that yes, we are submissive wives, we are obedient. Yes, that we honor our parents, that our children honor us. And proudly say that our deen has guaranteed our rights and has guaranteed our status in the eyes of Allah. And this is why we should hold our heads up high, because our dignity comes from holding on to our deen. And nowhere else. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and whoever of you devoutly obeys Allah and His Messenger and does good, we will grant her double the reward, and we have prepared for her an honorable provision. Another ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so He may reward those who believe and do good, it is they who will have forgiveness and an honorable provision. We've been asked to lend to Allah a goodly loan that will multiply, so we may have an honorable reward. The honor of a Muslim is sacred. And how do you embody that? By honoring and respecting yourself, by honoring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rights upon you, honoring the rights that others have, and holding your head up high as a Muslim woman. The sisters and I are going to have a conversation about this and be extracting lessons from the life of Aisha. I know you don't want to miss this. We'll see you in the next segment, inshallah. As you know, in this segment, I get to have a good old chat with my dear sisters, Talha and Sister Anisa, about some of the things that we've spoken about in the episode so far. Mm. So this was a big one. Submission. Mm-hmm. I talked about submission. We talked about what submission is, the Islamic context of submission on the various levels. And we also talked about dignity and honor, mm-hmm. right? And the reason I'm excited about this conversation is because I think you know, as I've mentioned, that the word submission is almost like a trigger word mm-hmm. in our community and society at the moment. So yeah. The first thing I want to do is firstly get your perspective on, is submission a dirty word? And if so, why? What's going on? Mm.
SubhanAllah, when you look at our deen, it really encourages us to submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we submit to Allah, then everything else, it becomes clear for us to, like, you know, accept, because it's not that we are, you know, falling slave to the creation, but we are falling slave to the Creator. And the Creator knows what's best for us, and He has got certain guidance, laws, and, you know, a system, you know, which is the Sharia. So when we operate within that system, of course we will find peace and tranquility, because this is the recipe for us to get that, you know, much desired, you know, contentment that everyone seeks as human being. So when you align your values with, you know, the you know, thing that Allah wants you to submit to, then you would find peace within yourself and peace with others. And that is what Islam is in a nutshell, when you submit, you know?
I feel like the society that we're in at the moment, peace is not the goal. It's this. It's a battle. It's, you know, generations battling each other. It's, you know, genders battling each other. It's families battling each other. It's like there's a big battle for power, it feels like. What do you think about this
subject? I think I'm going to be point blank. I think we're all a bit too emotional. Maybe because I was brought up around a mother who was very strong, and I had brothers around me, and I'm not saying anything about the females, but I just think that we're too emotional, honestly. And I think that's what's clouding us, is our emotions. For instance, if I'm going to give someone advice on how someone needs to be towards their husband, and they're like, well, I'm not going to do that for him. But hold on a minute. You're not doing that for him. You're doing it for the sake of Allah. But like you said, the submission is to Allah. So everything that we do, even if we don't want to do it, and that's advice that I'm giving myself and my kids and everyone else around me, is that you're doing it for the sake of Allah. And I'll tell you what that submission does. That submission not only helps you to disconnect from the emotional side, but it also helps you to do things to the best of your ability. So for instance, if you've got to cook a meal and your husband's gone out to work and you're just like, I don't want to do it because I'm tired. But hold on a minute. You're submitting yourself to Allah. And when you present that meal to Him, it's going to be the best meal ever. It's not going to be slapped on a plate. It's going to be made with love. It's going to be what He likes and what's good for Him. And it's going to be presented in the best way. So I think we need to almost emotionally detach ourselves away from this trigger word submission and look at it. Like, look at it in just a different light. We're doing things to please Allah. We're doing things because we want Allah to be happy with us and proud of us. Subhanallah.
Yeah, that I think that, even the example that you gave about the service, that's almost another S word as well, because there is, I think, this idea that, you know, being submissive, serving your husband, serving people in general, you know, we're too good for that. You know, that's below us, it's beneath us, you know. Whatever the case may be, as a woman, as a daughter of so-and-so, as a graduate, you know, as somebody who makes this amount of money, like, I am above that. Which is a very new thing, I think. It's not something that's always been generationally.
Is it entitlement?
Ooh, I like that.
Is it the fact that we feel that we are in a society of entitled people, you know? I think maybe, like you said, that's the thing that is destroying society.
I think the people who are the leaders, you see that the best of leaders are those who serve others. And people actually like to be led by people who serve. So in a household where you are, you know, devoted to serving your family members, when you ask them to do something, they would actually want to comply with what you have asked for, because it's a two-way thing, isn't it, you know?
That's another S word, which is, I don't want to be a slave. Because you hear sisters saying that. I've heard sisters complaining about slaving away, you know, and you know, and I don't want to be doing that all the time. Or, you know, when they're not married, they think that that's what marriage is about, is about, you know, slaving away and serving him and doing all of this stuff. But I'm sorry, I cut you. Go ahead, sis.
The thing is, whether you like it or not, we are a slave of Allah, you know? And that servitude helps us to deal with all the other challenges that we face. So when you know who your Lord is and you are Amatullah, Abdullah, then everything else, it becomes aligned with that servitude because you're in service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by serving your family. You know, you're serving your community, you're serving your husband. And I think when we understand that and have that mindset, then everything around us becomes easy for us to deal with, because you're not thinking, I'm serving my husband. You're thinking, I'm serving Allah through serving
my
husband. Yeah.
He's a means.
Or I'm not slaving away in the kitchen to do iftar for my family, but rather I'm looking at it as a way of investing my, you know, time in getting more ajr. Yeah. So it's the whole mindset needs to change. Another thing about this whole idea that when you're married, you're just slaving away. The thing is, life, you know, puts you through different cycles, and some stages in your life, yes, you will be doing more of the, say, domestic tasks, but then other stages of your life, you'll be doing things that you want to do, you know. So there's a time and a place, and you will get your kind of, you know, share of joy or things that you want to do, but you have to be prioritizing those needs, you know. And just because you're married, it doesn't mean that your life comes to an end. For many people, life begins when they're married, because they can travel, they can do this, they can do that, you know? So I think it's a misconception.
Yeah. I
think also, just to continue from what you're saying, in terms of from a mother's perspective, you know, do we look at the concept of being a slave to our child or being submissive to our child? No, we don't, because it's a natural thing. And if you look at it, look at the mother's and child's relationship. We are up all night. We are carrying that child. We have to go through pain for that child. We have to go through so much.
But to serve the need of that child.
Yeah, exactly. But we don't look at the terminology. Like, we don't say that we're slaving away for our children. So it literally is to change, like you said, the mindset. Go back to changing that mindset and know that you're doing everything for the sake of Allah.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, it just ties into what I was saying about, you know, this very much of a modern notion that certain things, including being submissive, is beneath our dignity, right? And, you know, earlier on in the show, I talk about, you know, the izzah of the Muslim, right? And the Muslimah, you know, and the honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. How can we change our thinking to understand that in submission there is honor, not degradation, you know, not abuse or oppression or any of these things, but there is actually honor in that submission? How can we do that?
I think in a simple way, by knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you know why certain things are prescribed in our deen. You know, let's flip it for a moment. Let's look at the husbands or the men of the family who have to work to provide for their family. Equally, they could be, you know, having that mentality, why am I slaving away for my, you know, family, and why do I have to work so many hours? But, you know, it's not like that, you know. They are responsible for their women folks, so they have to work. And similarly, women are responsible for their family. So everyone...
So we have to work.
Yeah, so everyone has their, everyone has their, like, you know, area of work and contribution. Why? To take care of the family better, isn't it, you know? And to fulfill those needs. And one should not think, oh, I'm just slaving away, because that's a very negative attitude to have.
It's dreadful. It's dreadful, actually. And the sad part of it is, you're likely, if you're fortunate enough to actually, you know, be married and have children, you're likely to be doing it. But because you've decided that it's enslavement, it's, you know, beneath your dignity, it's boring, it's all of these things, you're going to be doing a task or doing tasks that you've already decided you hate, that you've already decided are not fulfilling, and in which case you're going to be very unhappy.
But, like, I think, again, like I said, just keeping it really basic and simple, and just combining what everybody has said here. If you're doing it for the sake of Allah, it doesn't matter what the task is. It doesn't matter if you're cooking. It doesn't matter if you're beautifying yourself. It doesn't matter if you're on holiday. When you do things for the sake of Allah, and that's your intention, then, like I said, you do things to the best of your ability.
And it becomes more meaningful.
Yes.
Yeah, because you know that whatever you're engaged in doing, in the end, Allah is going to reward you.
SubhanAllah.
And it's natural not to like everything.
Yeah, definitely.
That's real life.
Like, for instance, a cooking. It doesn't mean that every time you go in the kitchen, you think, oh my God, I'm a slave. No, it isn't. You just change that mindset. I'm doing this for the sake of my family. I'm doing this to help them, to nourish them, you know, so you know that it becomes meaningful. And I know, you know, I've been blessed. So you look at gratitude. I've been blessed with all these beautiful ingredients. There's so many people in the world that haven't got anything. So you say, Alhamdulillah. You can turn every scenario and every situation, whether you feel, like I said, it's enslavement or submission, you can turn it all into beautiful examples. And I think we get that from even Bilal radiallahu anhu, who was actually a slave. You know, subhanAllah, and then we look at his life and, you know, even before he was sold or tortured, you know, his mind was freed. Alhamdulillah. So it's the mentality.
And I think that that is, you know, at the end of the day, the gift of Islam is the freedom of, you know, freedom from worship of the people and freedom from chasing this dunya. Because chasing this dunya, that is what is destroying people and has always destroyed peoples throughout time.
You hold you captive.
Yes, yes.
And if we're supposed to be like, you know, we have this beautiful gift of Islam, alhamdulillah, we have the treasure. Well, actually, go out and be a steward. So go out and look at that rubbish that's in the park and it's filled with people and they're not picking it up, and go and pick it up. Because you're not a slave and you're not a rubbish collector and it's not your duty. You're not getting paid. But you know what? You are serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that becomes a beautiful act.
Yeah.
And then maybe outside they will look at us and say, look at that lady. And then maybe outside they will look at us and say, look at that lady. And then they may look at us in a different
light. I just want to add one thing, is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran, in Surah Al-Isra, you know, the night journey from Mecca to Bayt al-Maqdis, Allah actually refers to him as Abd, you know. Because our honor is in service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah.
So that, you know, is something that we need to bear in mind.
And that really is the crux of the matter, is that the honor is in the submission. Sis, I hope you got something from that. Please do share your takeaways with us on socials, tagging Iman Channel and me, Naima B. Robert, because this is really what this life is about, is understanding our role, performing our role, and bi'idhnillah, to my parting thoughts, you go. I will see you on the other side. Inshallah. No one ever asks to be tested, but even the best of creation, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was tested with many disappointments and trials, in particular in what came to be known as the Year of Sorrow. In this year, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's life was shaken in many different ways. The boycott by the Meccans continued unabated, draining the fledgling Muslim community. His uncle, Abu Talib, passed away without accepting Islam and left the Prophet ﷺ at the mercy of hostile Meccans. Then he lost his beloved wife, Khadija radiallahu anha, and with her, the mother of his children, his ardent supporter and the first believer. A visit to Ta'if to call the people to Islam was unsuccessful. The people rejected him and his message and chased him from the town. Indeed, in spite of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's deep and abiding faith in Allah, these events shook his world. We don't ask for the test. But the truth is, it is the test, it is the pain that wakes us up, cleanses us and brings us back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just as we cannot appreciate the light if there is no darkness, we cannot appreciate joy without sadness. Just as ugliness highlights beauty, so loss reminds us of the many blessings we have in our lives. If you're going through something, if you are in pain, if you're struggling, let's put our pain into perspective. It is a necessary part of life, a crucial part of our emotional and spiritual growth, and an important reminder of the temporary nature of this life and the fact that this dunya is a test. Let us embrace the opportunities for growth, awareness, and revitalization that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala offers us when He tests us. May Allah make us of those who are patient when tried by pain and loss, compassionate with those who are being tested, strong in faith and confident in Allah, returning to Him in repentance and gratitude for every single blessing in our lives. Ameen. And may He make us of those who embody the characteristics of the ideal Muslimah or die trying. May Allah bless you. Jazakallahu khairan.